Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is Wednesday, the 8th of May, and you are tuned into Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning this morning. It's good to be introduced to your own show, though.
Yes, you're good. A superstar.
I am a superstar. Today is Wednesday. That means today is Mashup Wednesday, where we combine both shows together and we interrogate, analyze the news, do analysis on the news, right? Mm-hmm. Today, I want to, again, focus on the FNM. I want to focus on their convention and put some questions to them. Put a list of questions to them. But before that, I know that at the end, the tail of the show, we had a number of texts and a number of things we did not finish. Yeah. And I want to finish that. There are some things we need to put on the record so people can reflect on and do commentary on for future shows. So let's conclude with that, and then we'll go on and wag the dog instead of to have the dog wag his tail regarding the FNM.
Absolutely. Just to finish this media story, that's what he's never fruitful to have media in your business. Quote, if you look at how matters got in the press, it started elsewhere other than from the government. Somebody in the media told GBPA they must pay the government, eh? Ms. Newry? Will you even hear that, eh? Because it's foolishness.
Yeah.
Is why. Quote, it is never my intent to engage in any issue in the media, close quote, Davis said. Quote, if you look at how matters got in the press, it started elsewhere other than from the government. Once it was in the public domain, we responded, and I could take you through the timelines of what was said and when we were able to say anything. So I thought I'd respond to that in that way, because it is never fruitful or constructive to have the media engaged in your business. Now, having said that, in respect to investor confidence, I've not seen, as I said in my remarks earlier, I've seen no remonstration from investors. We have been engaged with several persons of interest in doing things in the Grand Bahama area, in the port area, and West End as well, and there is nothing that has shaken their confidence. Close quotes there. I just wonder, who is it that brought up the government's petition to have GBPA pay monies that the government thinks is owed to the government? You brought it up. I didn't go to the GBPA. I mean, maybe Mr. Newry, he's been on a particular tact of recent. Maybe he went to the GBPA and say, you didn't hear my boss whispering about maybe you owe him money, pay him his money.
All of that was done in the media publicly. This row is a public row, and people in the media have asked the Prime Minister or the government and the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, why is it so public? Why can't this be done behind closed doors?
Because it's a national issue.
Yes, but I won't hold that in contrast to what the Prime Minister is saying now, mm-hmm. Right? He wants going to arbitration, but before the arbitration, there was shade. There was public shade. There were public questioning. Even this address to the Chamber of Commerce is a public discourse, mm-hmm. that is happening. And to say now the media is covering it is problematic, is peculiar. Mm-hmm. It's peculiar.
You know
when
what
you're
else
doing
is,
everything public.
You know what else is peculiar? Mm-hmm. His party chairman, who is also his Minister of Foreign Affairs, who's also a MP for Fox Hill constituency, has his own media machine. Could it be that he's actually referencing Fred Mitchell?
No.
Are you certain?
I'm certain that.
Because I want to see his timeline. I would like for you, sir, to, if you could potentially, as a resident within said constituency, gain access to Mr. Mitchell's voice notes for me, his public addresses, so I could determine whether Mr. Mitchell is the first one to raise the issue. You could imagine if it was Mr. Mitchell that was the first person to bring the issue to the public domain.
But Mr. Mitchell, I can actually suggest that he is the first one to go on the record publicly through his voice notes and the media responding to the voice notes. So,
no, but you have his own media machine.
Yeah, but you ask if the Prime Minister's question Mr. Mitchell, and I said no quickly, right? Mm-hmm. And you didn't ask me why would I say such a thing.
I mean,
and I would say such a thing because there'll be consequences and repercussions.
For what?
If the Prime Minister meant
where?
Mr. Mitchell. You all believe my MPs play. you can't be questioning good chairman who's doing things for the party. You dare question that? You
will. People can start asking you if you expect a paycheck.
You'll understand who could be named in people's voice notes.
Another important story. BSE president says 100 OSHA violations in 2023 could be the tip of iceberg. Bahamas Society of Engineers President Dr. Stephen Curran said health and safety is an, quote, ongoing concern, close quote, in the construction industry, noting that the 100 Occupational Safety and Health Administration complaints for 2023 could be the, quote, tip of the iceberg, close quotes. Curran told Guardian Business that although the Department of Labor recorded 100 OSHA-related violations in 2023, the number of infractions could actually be in the thousands. Quote, it's only the tip of the iceberg. There could have been 100 calls, but there could have been 10,000 incidents. The Department of Labor is celebrating Occupational Safety and Health Administration OSHA week in the first week of May. I wish I had known. Let me just send out an invite right now so I could talk to you all formally about the number of instances in which I have witnessed individuals engaged in road paving exercises in slippers and tennis. Every time I drive on Village Road and one of the concrete frames for the manhole covers is cracked and bounces under my tire, I wonder, did the boy who was wearing the slippers that day pour the concrete here? Very important story, and we ran through it quickly. You can find that in today's Guardian. Another story in today's Guardian. Potter's Key fire victims risk losing building materials if they don't collect them soon. Potter's Key dock vendors that lost their stalls in February's dock fire are at risk of losing access to their materials if they don't claim them soon, said Jomo Campbell, Minister of Agriculture and Marine Resources. Campbell told Guardian Business yesterday that money for building materials has been set aside for vendors to shop for their materials at FYP Builders Mall. He also said some have collected their materials already, while a few others have not done so, and they are at risk of losing their materials. Quote, they should go to FYP soon because the ministry may have to pull back the funding, he said. Close quotes. Quote, each vendor, I think six in total, was presented with approximately $16,500 to assist them through local vendors and store owners. I'm told that as of today's date, one of the vendors has fully accessed his materials and the other five are waiting approval from the Ministry of Works for their plans. But they all have their permits, and as soon as they have approval for their plans, sorry, that should have read plans, then they should be able to proceed. Meanwhile, Maltese Davis, Secretary of the Bahamas Dock and Allied Venues Vendors Association, told Guardian Business that Potter's Key Dock has no leadership for the vendors, and the vendors who had their stalls burnt down are still looking for help. Okay, so Mr. Campbell, what you're saying is that your ministry has approved the granting of the money to said individuals. Said individuals have their permits. They all have their permits. And as soon as they have approval for their plans, they should be able to proceed. So why are they at risk of losing access to the funds? If what is holding them up appears to be an administrative issue in Ministry of Works. And why is it that Ministry of Agriculture cannot liaise with Ministry of Works to ensure that whatever process is not happening begins to happen quickly. And if it is a matter that there are negotiations between the Ministry of Works and the vendors about the type of plan that they want to have approved, then you intervene, go to the meeting with the vendors, and let the vendors know, because it must be according to policy, mm-hmm. that only these types of plans are permitted, and either you use one of these types of plans, or you will have your permit rescinded.
Mm.
But please don't come here and say that they are at risk of losing access to the money because of an administrative issue in another ministry. Mm. That makes no sense. See, one of the questions for the next segment, how are you as a leader going to deal with an ongoing administrative crisis?
We have a caller here, Erin. The caller gone? Okay, we'll continue. Now, mind you, remember when the Prime Minister said so much media involved inside their business, in quotes,
yeah.
right? I'm not sure how this got to the media at this present time. No, see, I appreciate it being fleshed out in the media,
mm-hmm.
but this is supposed to be solved through administrative
operations. It should not have risen to this point.
Yes. See, the media now will force us to poke and ask questions, but this shouldn't get to the media yet. This should have been solved internally, because this just seems like generic ABC type following plug what goes into next, and I don't understand what is happening here. It just seems confusing.
Absolutely. And I mean, and then it if there is a plan for Portiski, what's happening to the plan? Because each space should be carved out with a revenue generation expectation, taxes to be collected that would then be used as a part of the ongoing maintenance enhancement. You remember, because they need to get the paint that don't fade away for the no parking signs. Mm. Remember when they spent hundreds of dollars, possibly even thousands of dollars, demarking no parking zones on Portiski Dock, mm-hmm. and then all the people ignored it, including the police?
Mm.
And now people is just throw their car anywhere on Portiski Dock?
What is the plan for Portiski Dock? It can't be the shanty town it is now.
I do not know what the plan is.
And have the government acknowledged that it is a shanty town now? That Portiski is
not
a
just
shanty.
A shanty town now, but it remains a shanty town after the considerable effort y'all said y'all were putting in to change the way that the dock operated, because of the fact that some international boats are still docking there, despite all the international boats are supposed to go to APD. Like, you're supposed to have a plan.
Mm.
You caused vendors and people to shift up their whole revenue models because you had a plan for Portiski.
Mm. Let's go to the callers, Erin.
Yeah, good morning.
Just patch the first caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How you doing, man?
And good morning, Erin Kyle.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you today?
You're well, man.
We're all right. We're good to go.
Listen, I think more people should do what the Grand Bahama Port Authority did. Because you can imagine how much other people, the government, are doing things to, how much other companies or other businesses or other even personally wise, they're being, I guess, not being treated well by the change that government intend to do with this particular administration, to be specific. And I think they're being threatened that they don't go to the media. They should come to the media with everything. Because inquiry minds wants to know. I really want to know more. I'm very curious as to who else these kind of things is happening to in this country. And because of fear of not getting any contracts or for whatever reason, they're not opening up their mouths. But I feel like what the Port Authority did, more persons need to do that. And this is one of the reasons why I believe that government got it out the airways, so they can, whatever news you hear, would be positive news on their behalf. That's how I feel.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm looking for a quote there have been about 17 BPL articles over the last 5 or 6 days,
yes.
right? I'm looking for a quote, and what the quote says is that, like, Bahamians are going to take on the burden at BPL, both, right, as taxpayers
mm-hmm.
and as consumers,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? That's, right, like, you, the government, maybe the Prime Minister is speaking for himself, want to have these conversations in private, but I am left to foot the bill as a taxpayer and as a consumer, right? Because even, like, let's talk about real estate. Even when it's when you go to Albany and you talk to these big, fancy people who could afford $3 million home and $5 million home, the decisions that you make in respect to them affect the entire real estate market. They affect the whole policy culture related to land usage. And I foot the bill as a taxpayer and a consumer at the end of the day. Why can't you tell me what you're talking about since it's also my business?
Let's go to the next caller. You want a lot from this government. And even though they show you differently, you continue to ask
questions. I can show you why. That's why on day two.
Mm-hmm.
See, on day two, when I said, hey, I am a little concerned that on day two, we see a swearing in of a prime minister and a deputy leader of a party, because there's no construct in the Constitution called deputy prime minister.
Mm.
A semi-secret, that's like half secret, almost secret, swearing in. On day two, I pointed out that I have concerns.
Yeah.
So I ain't asking for much.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, it's Berman again.
Abraham.
What I want to say, right? I want to make a comment, and plus I want to ask a question. Now, in front of the Princess Margaret Hospital, right? Some of that new piece in which they had put on, right? The sidewalk, broken crossway, right? And one part of it are being raised because of the brokenness, right? And that being in that condition for years, not say 15 years, for years, okay? And it's amazing that Public Works or the Minister of Health hadn't had that fixes yet, because somebody can walk there and bump their foot to it and fall down. If they doesn't walk in the street and walk around it. My other point is, right, my question is, first electricity company in which we have here in the Bahamas, other than BPL, right? Who were they feeding off? BPL, and we knew nothing about it?
Okay, Bremen, I have to do some more research to answer that question competently, but I too question when I'm reading the bills and I see the language authorized electricity supplier, right? An electricity supplier. I thought BEC was the only electricity supplier in New Providence, and that Grand Bahama Power Corporation was the only authorized power or electricity supplier in Grand Bahama. This is what I thought. I don't know everything. And so let me do some more research on that one.
So Bahamian people has to wake up. We are getting right big time.
Thank you, Bremen.
Thank you.
I also want to say, like, the expectations that the public have. You said something yesterday in the conversation with Uncle Mr. Newry that troubled me, but then I was reminding myself I'm a woman and I'm not supposed to speak. It's something that you said was troubling, but that so the Coptic Church don't have a savior. I need a savior, right? Like, my religious needs, I need a savior. And I wonder if Bahamians realize that we're trapped in a model. People get the governments they deserve. Just like gods, you get the government mm-hmm. you deserve. I enjoy this job greatly because I am an advocate, right? Also because I'm a commentator, social commentator. But I think the expectations of people in the talk radio platform are a bit inflated. My show relies primarily on the traditional print media as source, right? As a resource and source material for interrogative and critical interrogation of what is happening around us. I don't have the capacity to do the investigative work that the media does and then also launch a talk show. Unfortunately, due to my peculiar and particular social standing, it's too late for me to become an investigative journalist, right?
You know, that's expensive in general, right? You got to be working on your own money.
Right.
Media kind of
I ain't got no money at all.
Time to travel and research.
And do thing and hide things.
And then get thank you afterwards.
And disguise your voice.
And get thank you afterwards.
But I think it's imperative for Bahamians to begin to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rely on government to do something and then complain that the government isn't doing it. Mm-hmm. You got to do it. You got to do it for yourself. And then remind the government that they're obligated to provide the resources for you to do the thing. And the thing is participating in governance.
This is where I got to say kudos to the lady who went to the baseball stadium the other day mm-hmm. and saw that birthday party going on and then recorded and say, hey, who paid for this birthday party?
Right.
We ain't get a response on who paid for that birthday party yet.
Right. And I don't understand
but
why.
Kudos to her still.
In the midst of all that's happening in the sporting realm, right, in the space occupied by the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture and the National Sports Agency or National Sports Authority. Why, with all that is going on there, with LOC chairman calling auditors' reports garbage, would you host a party there and not take it upon yourself with your own personal resource to publish in the local papers the entire financial paper trail showing that you paid for everything.
Don't care. They didn't care to respond.
Self.
They didn't care to respond.
I mean, how would you, in one hand, pick up a document and take it to the House of Assembly and put it on a table and say, I am tabling an unaudited report contrary to the audited report that was presented on the same matter, and then turn around and then go to a baseball stadium named after Andre Rogers.
Mm-hmm. And how a personal
Did we still don't know how much money it costs to bring it to the point it is today? And we still don't know.
Hundreds of millions of overrun.
We still don't know if it's complete, right? If you spend all of the initial money you're supposed to spend on it, we don't know any of that. And then you go and have a birthday party there?
And don't explain who paid for it.
And is it because you thought that maybe it's better than having it at Bahama?
It's cheaper, especially if it's free.
And all you have to do is publish, make it known to the people that you followed the proper procedure, even when you couldn't figure out how to avoid a conflict of interest, that you published all of the relevant documentation to show that you paid for everything.
Mm.
You even paid for the water in the water fountain.
Mm-hmm.
However much would have or could have been consumed over that hour, you just put that on the bill just in case.
Don't forget the staff who worked. Because you had all kinds of...
What do you mean staff worked?
Staff who worked the stadium.
No. You don't tell me...
They might be in on the public
dime. Don't tell me that the staff decided that they loved the minister so much that they were going to volunteer their time to do it. You just would not allow them to do it because you understand your role as a member of the cabinet, a minister of government, and an upholder of the Bahamian Constitution?
Let's go to the caller. But again, I say, you expect too much from this government. Let us be, man. Just let us be. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, CA. You know, you said an important thing. After you do all your money and do all your research and get all the data, they pull a Snowden on you. Remember Snowden?
Yeah. You mean the boy we forgot in the Ecuadorian embassy?
No, the guy that blew the whistle on many things, including the Bahamas being having some problems with cell phones and foreigners.
That's okay. Snowden is in Russia.
Edward Snowden, yes.
Snowden is locked up in Russia. I mean,
mm-hmm. After he tried to expose some things, they call it whistleblowing. You know, the question to ask, switching gears, is does NASA subsidize other islands in the Bahamas when it comes to making energy? Because I got a friend in one of the southern islands, say he got six of them window unit air condition, one in every room in his house going full blast at 60 degrees, and he only has to pay $100 a month. Do we subsidize the family islands on the backs of the Nasuvians? You ever heard, Aaron or CA, The St. George Power Company? Their electricity never goes off. That's Spanish Wells of Lutheran. Now, how do they do that? Maybe we should get them to come to New Providence and help consult on energy. Because after 50 years and two parties, because, you know, I don't pick a side, I'm independent, we can't keep the lights on. That's putting you very close to what's called a failed state. Let's fix the Bahamas, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Let's go to the next caller there quickly. Go ahead, caller.
I'm caller.
There's a bad connection, caller. You may have to use another line. Use this number, 325-4316 or 325-4259. This line is not working for you. Are you ready to transition yet, or you have something else you want to read before then?
I just wanted to read this. Well, it was a quote from an article in the Prime Minister. Bills pave way for lower bills. It's just he's quoted as saying, we need system-wide change because in order to reduce the cost of electricity for consumers, we need a grid that is well-designed, effective, and efficient. Frankly, our grid is at the end of its life. We simply cannot lower costs or meet our full potential as a nation with outdated, deteriorating energy infrastructure. He said the grid also lacks the capacity to integrate large-scale renewable energy. In reference to what Graham was saying, there are some texts here, Mr. Newry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through the text. I see you got a green light flashing there. Aaron, have you been paying attention to the shantytown removal on Eleuthera? It's truly barbaric and inhumane. Children stood by, watched the only homes that they know destroyed this morning. This deserves the attention of the Bahamas. It is on the list. I referenced it this morning. We haven't gotten to it yet. I get emotional when we talk about this, not because, Erin is just a Haitian lover and she doesn't like to hear the voice of the Bahamian people. I'm a human and I'm a human lover, but more importantly, I tire of watching people suffer needlessly and unnecessarily because of an obvious administrative crisis. Simple. In last week's papers, there's a quote, I have to find it, I've been buried under BPL stories. There's a quote indicating that the Shantytown Task Force's survey, the investigative work they conducted, determined that the vast majority of migrants in these unregulated and illegal communities are documented and are working in the country. Documented. And the majority of them are working according to their work permit.
And I want to have a show on that, you know, separate and apart, because we need to trash it out, and I'm not sure if we have enough time for that.
Right.
But go ahead.
I'm tired of having a circular conversation where people want to rail against Haitian migrants, but they refuse to take into account the entire ecosystem or landscape in which this is happening. The government has $1 billion in foreign direct investment development projects on the table. We do not have an organized labor force that can deliver a product that the foreign direct investors want. The government refuses to organize resources to assist or facilitate Bahamians to prepare themselves for the opportunities that exist. There is also a housing crisis exacerbated by an administrative crisis where the government continues to allow companies to bring in foreign workers without ensuring that there is government-approved housing available for them, leaving them to negotiate with Bahamians on the ground for housing while all of them are negotiating with a tourism minister that has begged Bahamians to open up their homes to foreigners, tourists, and not to Bahamians and not to the documented migrants that are helping to build the said tourism product. It becomes heart-wrenching to see people trap themselves in this discourse that leads nowhere.
There is a quote, I can go to this last call and then we transition. There is a quote is, if the people you are complaining about, Aaron, does not have bread, give them cake. Allow us to just give these people
give diabetes.
Cake.
They starving. Yeah. They don't have bread. Give them diabetes. That's plantation model policy right there.
Yes. Let's go to the caller so we can transition.
And then there's plenty other texts. But
go ahead, caller. Caller going once.
Yeah. Yuri and Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Graham was talking about the electricity and the grid, right? And the caller talked about the grid with electricity. Now, my research with the Rhode Island, one of the BC persons told me that it's only a labor of love for the citizens of each of these islands that they operate, because, yes, we in Nassau...
Hold on, pause, sir. Just stick a pin. Did you just say that somebody who worked for a power company said it's just a labor of love providing this service to the family islands? Is that similar to the way in which the BOB bank manager said that providing banking services in the family islands is a philanthropic service?
Aaron, listen to this. You can't charge the people in the family island 1 cent more than you charge the people, the consumers in Nassau, right?
That's the government. That's the government's issue to deal with, because you have to provide equal and equitable access
right.
to services.
That's what they do. What are they saying? What is simple? Simply this: no profits are being made by the.
You cannot make profit. You're not going to make profit on providing this most basic and essential. Take it out of right. the equation. You're not going to make a profit.
No, so okay, so with this thing they rushed through
the electricity bill.
What we have to look at, and one of the texts said that we need to upgrade the grid, right? The thing is, the solar energy, and they just did something in Freeport with 5 megawatts of service that's going into the grid just the other day, right?
They got a couple of projects, yeah.
Okay. What I'm saying is this. We have to be real. Accounting principles.
No. Pause. Stop. We have to be real. We're talking about electricity in an archipelago. I just need you to know right now, without being rude, that I'm not going to tolerate anybody looking at me and saying, Aaron, to run a business, you got to make a profit. It is 2024. You live in an archipelago, and you have volunteered to offer services to an archipelagic infrastructure, which means that you need to provide equal and equitable access to everybody across the archipelago.
Right.
Now, you could sit down and tell me you have determined that this is what equitable access means. But don't come to me with this. Offering electrical services in the family island is really just a philanthropic thing. We're only doing it because we love you.
No. Don't take what I say wrong now. What it is that the corporation and everybody is entitled to the same rate, and that is what's happening. All it is that if you're losing money in Cat Island, you're losing money in San Salvador, you lose some BPL. You see, you have to take every account. Then you, with the renewable energy, you have to deal with it like if they bring me and you in to manage the company. First thing, we're going to look at which department we are losing money. So we have to correct that. We have to stop that bleeding, right? You see what I'm saying? We have to correct that. And if we could harness, we could get the solar panels. I spoke with you all on this the other day, right? And we could harness the sun, just the sun. And put it in place in those areas, then we cut the cost. They still get served. Nobody's discriminating against them. And the person is not saying that. All it is it's continuous law. In other words, the consumers in Nassau and the populous island is carrying the weight of it. And at the same time, the solar energy through the panels can also be simultaneously implemented into the grid in Nassau. There's two phases when you're implementing solar energy. The battery that will run in the night. That's the second phase.
Caller,
you don't need that right away. You don't need that.
Right, but okay, caller, would you... what you're talking about, nobody's arguing against that. Nobody's discounting that the introduction of renewable energy and alternate energy solutions.
We all support it.
That's not the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is that you can't have a conversation about providing this essential service and in an archipelago and circle losing money as a problem. You know that you're not going to make a profit, so you build a model understanding that you're not going to make a profit, but you don't talk about it in the terms of where are we, you know, we losing money, that's a problem. We determine how much money we expect to lose because of the nature of the service that we're offering. And then we determine when we go beyond that threshold. And then we should start looking at things like salaries for people that don't actually do anything.
Okay, let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, Corey, can you hear me? Carly, can you hear me?
Morning, Mr. Nui.
Okay, pause right now. Place on hold. Let's go to this quick commercial break.
Hold on, are you on a cell phone?
No, ma'am.
Okay, we're going to go to this quick commercial break, and then when I come back, I'm going to come in straight to you, okay?
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much there, Arlington. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Elaine, we hear what boss man was saying in the back there just now.
About what? The luncheon?
Why you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying for him out. Ain't be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that terminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan. I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
Attention all New Providence customers. Are you ready to spring into savings and make this Mother's Day unforgettable? From April 26th to May 9th, pay your water and sewage bill in full and get a chance to win big. That's right, simply pay your bill and you'll be automatically entered to win a stunning 55-inch smart TV. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to treat yourself or that special mom in your life. Visit any of our water and sewage offices to learn more. Spring into savings and make this Mother's Day one to remember. Water and sewage committed to growth, committed to quality. Hurry, offer ends soon. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We have a range of different topics right now that we're discussing. I know I have somebody on hold right now. I want to make sure they get their chance to contribute. So, producer, put them through for me right now. Go ahead, caller.
I appreciate that, Mr. Nuri. Mm-hmm. Mr. Nuri, just don't be the one to say let them eat cake because it didn't turn out too well for the last person who said it.
He would have to know history to appreciate it. I appreciate you.
It didn't turn out too well for that female.
I appreciate you actually knowing the reference.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. And Ms. Green, just a quick thing. Since you spoke about something about people paying for the water at the fountain, right? It made me think about one day when I went by a primary school in my area and I drank from the water fountain and the water was unpalatable. And I mean, I think, I don't know what the situation is now. They still have water faucets, water fountains in schools or whatever the case may be. But one of these days, you probably need to do a little show on it because that water was, horrible, you know? And water is a serious thing and that could really mess people up when they're drinking a terrible water. But I guess we could kiss I guess don't hold your breath for that Freedom of Information Act, eh?
The chairman said that it's coming through and it's very important to the party. And I trust this chairman.
Mr. Nuri, you're sorry. But anyway, I agree with Brayman. You know, we really need to get it together. And the thing about it in this country is we really don't have aggressive media. You know, we don't have that dogged. You know, we don't have media with that type of, you know, I mean, the closest thing we kind of had to that was the Punch. I missed the Punch, by the way. I mean, even though the Punch used to have some gossip, people say it was exaggeration and stuff, I still miss it because it still used to reveal a lot of stuff, and it still had certain people worried that they might appear inside the thing, you know what I mean? But, I mean, Mr. Davis is doing exactly what those before him have done. And we as a public are doing what those before us have done. And as long as both of us keep maintaining that same relationship, nothing will change. One of us will have to not do what we always used to do. No, I don't think I want to say to the public is, come on, man, you know, we got to wake up, man. We can't be this asleep. I mean, and I'm not even talking to, like, the uninformed individuals. I'm talking about the individuals who are supposed to be professionals in this country, man.
The professional behemoths are lackluster. They should be more involved.
Those are the ones who keep up with what's going on. Those are the ones who sit around and talk about what's going on, and they only talk about this observance type attitude. Like there's nothing. I mean, it's just amazing how. And like I said before, man, we can't be this asleep, man. You know what I mean? But I appreciate the show always. Yeah, you know, you always have a good show, and I appreciate the humor you be kicking, man. And one-liners is be. I know a lot of people just appreciate that sarcasm, man. And Miss Green,
why you're wonderful. Why you call it sarcasm? Like only sack is funny.
You're a wonderful co-host too, Miss Green. You know,
you all do really make
a good combination, man. You all do make a good team on the radio. And I just want to say, keep up the good work, and I appreciate how you all delve into topics sometimes that everyone else might not want to touch. And I appreciate the point of view that you all bring. All right, you all have a good day, please.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
So let's use this last few minutes to talk about the FNM. Finally,
the list. I got the list.
And we have a list of questions that we want to pose.
It's a short list
to pose to the FNM leadership, particularly those who are vying for the leader of the FNM. Right, we're trying to change the narrative, change the conversation on what is the crucial conversation should be talking about.
Especially since we know that convention is where you begin to form policy that you intend to bring to governance if you become the governing administration.
It looks like there will not be a debate between the leadership. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No matter how many FNMs or the general public demand it, it will not happen. They don't care to ever make it happen because we're not that important. So now, what can we influence? What can we say that we need them to address? And then we constructed a list of questions. Hopefully, the general public will say, hey, FNM party, right? Did you answer these? Go ahead, Aaron. You have the list here.
All right. So I think that all questions should be put to all individuals vying for any leadership position at a convention. Of course, the most important question, I think, is how will you cause or compel your party members, your colleagues, Bahamians, and people in the Bahamas generally to discipline themselves, to moderate their behavior? I think that's the most important question for both Minnis and Pintard, and anybody else in the party, because you have a leadership role at some level. But I think the questions put to Minnis and Pintard should be and are slightly different. The first thing is, Minnis must be prepared to answer every question left unanswered and every issue left unresolved when he called a snap election. Right? Like,
give me an example. I don't understand.
What do you mean, give you an example?
What type of things was left? Or you want to know why he called a snap election?
Well, that's the first question. Okay. Of course, the first question is, why did you call a snap election? And what is your justification for re-electing you as leader of the party? And then ultimately, because your goal is to be leader of the country, what's the rationale for re-electing you after you didn't win the general election, having called a snap election?
The good German said that we're judging him based on COVID. And judging him based on the hurricane.
No, we was judging him based on the fact that he walked out into the storm water barefoot. Doctor.
Mm.
Maybe he was judging him for that. And even so, we can judge you for Dorian and COVID. It doesn't matter that Dorian is an act of God and COVID is an act of we don't know what. That does not matter. That doesn't mean that you don't get judged by it. It doesn't mean that your critical assessment is less critical. You still are going to get assessed because of those.
Let's go to the next question. But the response now for his supporters is, did you die? Did you make it through? If you did make it through, you shouldn't be complaining that much.
Mr. Newry, you want Mr. Minister to get run out of there? Mr. Dear Dr. Hubert Alexander Minister.
Don't say that.
Don't you, for the sake of your own safety, I'm begging you.
Don't say that.
Don't you ever say,
did you die?
Did you die? Because you refuse, your administration refuses to acknowledge.
Did you starve during the COVID? All these things. Just because
your administration refuses to acknowledge how many people actually went missing or died. In fact, y'all stopped talking about the matter as if it was just finished. You haven't addressed the many, many Abaconian residents who said that they were put into a situation where they felt like they were being extorted to identify remains that could not be identified.
Let's go to number two.
Family members. Mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest. Will you gazette declarations and public disclosures, in particular for Pintard, who has sat in this position now and has demanded, or not demanded, because that's not quite what he was doing, and that's why the question is so important. When you become the Prime Minister, how will you move forward on the gazetting of declarations and public disclosures? And how quickly will you operationalize and enforce Freedom of Information Act, Fiscal Responsibility Act, Procurement Act, and most important, campaign finance reform? I want to stick another question in there. What is your response to the housing crisis, A, and B, land reform in the Bahamas?
So you want a commitment from them, as you're trying to say, on record?
I have this expectation that if you are endeavoring to lead the government, you're not waiting until the night before the election to start working on your plans. I think that you should take governance so seriously that you have a plan and that you're not afraid to talk about it out loud. I want to know, when you become Prime Minister, are you going to remove portions of the Ministry of Environment and Natural Resources platform from the minister responsible? And, Minister, are you inclined to do it again the same way you did it to Mr. Ferreira under was it under his administration that Ferreira got his portions of...
Well, the current Minister of Environment got portions of his portfolio moved to. He don't even go to no meetings abroad. They just keep him home in Nassau.
How many of your ministers know how to swim? That's a question I can put to ministers. Because can you talk about climate change and you don't know how to swim?
What question are you on now?
Will you criminalize marital rape, and will there be stiffer penalties for sexual violence, particularly
against
children?
There's no need to
children.
Define rape. Our Prime Minister already concluded
no,
on
this. Listen, he may be a KC, but anyway, there's this thing about the law being a donkey. I'm just saying, immigration, are we facing a labor crisis or a housing crisis? How will you mobilize a Bahamian labor force to benefit from the FDI
Rupert
and
Robert
local...
say we have a shortage of good labor and that we need to accept it and address it.
That's not... I mean, he didn't say accept it, but he said address it.
Yes. And our government tried to address it and have gone to the wall now. There's nothing else. This is as good as it gets.
Here's a question for Minis. You want to get back into power. Remember when you gave us the impression that you were prepared to legalize cannabis for recreational use? Where do you stand on that now, sir?
We can legalize weed.
You're supposed to say, we stand on grass, we don't smoke it. That's what you're supposed to say.
Okay, we stand on grass.
Uh-huh. Another question, do you think I'm a biscuit or a cracker? I think you all should put that to Minis and Pintard. Do you think I'm a biscuit or a cracker?
And if the answer is the same thing, what do we do?
Fire them.
Okay.
Also, I think we should put the question to them, if they gain power, will they step back from the Davis administration's decision to recognize Palestine as a state?
I didn't know Palestine was a country. I thought it was a faction that is on Israel's backside.
Pun intended. Some gentleman by the name of John Told told the world that you can't spell Bahamas without Hamas. Y'all check the stop list. Just check it. I just want to check it. Check it. Just check it.
God, spell Bahamas
without Hamas. Anyway, y'all, thank you, Mr. Newry.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Newry. Thank you to the listening audience. Thank you to the techs. I'm sorry that we didn't get all the text. It says
12 o'clock, Aaron.
I don't know how Menace will survive if he's lost and rejected by the party. That's from a texter.
Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.